I turned on the evening news, saw an old man being interviewed, turning 102 today. They asked him, what's the secret to life?
Good morning, folks. Welcome. It's a great joy to come to you each Sunday morning and to share with you the things of the faith on this radio program. We call this just Common Sense Christianity. I'm here with Pastor Evan Nunley. My name is Dale Diggs, and we're two local pastors who just want to bring a little bit of common sense approach to many of the discussions that are going on today. Everybody's calling people this, that, and the other, and the Christians are being described in all kinds of lights and being told what is and is not Christianity. We just felt like it would be a great, fun, privileged thing to do. We enjoy doing these radio programs just to put a little bit of common sense to what it means to be a Christian. My goodness, with all that's going on in today's world today, with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and terrorism and Muslims and extremists and all this stuff, and we hear all these people batting back and forth, and we have political correctness driving us crazy, every now and then you just have to step back and say, listen, to me, and I'll give you an example, and then if you don't like it, I really am sorry, but I don't care a whole bunch. I hear people say, well, it's workplace violence that took place in San Francisco about a month ago. Hey, folks, workplace violence is when you go home and you get a gun, you're mad, and you go back and you shoot three people because you're really ticked off because of the way you treat you. It's not going home and finding that you've got 45 pipe bombs in the garage and all kinds of weapons and enough machine gun material to go over and kill half of America. That's terrorism. And you don't have to be. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a Christian. But a common sense tells me workplace violence doesn't require you to have pipe bombs in the garage. And workplace violence doesn't require you to keep your mom upstairs and she lies about what she knows. We have to be sometimes just flat out and tell the truth. The truth is there's a lot of sin in today's world. And there's a lot of goodness in today's world. And we want to put a balance to it in Common Sense Christianity. We want to talk to you today about this issue of the purpose of tests and trials in your life. And one test and trial I want to talk to you about right off the bat is the test you're going to have today, whether you're going to get up and go to church. Because some of you might not be thinking about that, and I want to test you. If you're a professing Christian, are you going to be in church this morning? And if you haven't planned to yet, you still got time to get ready and to get to church somewhere. And Pastor Evan pastors two churches, and one of them is at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he's out, is it 9 or 9:30?
9:30
service out there in Madison, and he's right there at the church called Lifeline Church. It's right on the corner of Middle Ridge Road and Town Line. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Tax Line, because so many towns tax you. But anyway, they meet 9:30 every Sunday morning, have a great service out there. Pastor Evan preaches. They have children's ministries. They also have at that church every week on Thursday night. They have Bible study. They have Awana program for children. They have a lot of good programming going on. If you live in the Madison area, hey, man, we got you covered. We invite you to. And the trial is, are you going to get up and go to church this morning? But you're already too late maybe for that one if you're listening to this program. But you still got time to get up and go to his church service that he has going in Leroy. And that service starts at 11 o'clock. Changed it, didn't you?
I did change it.
Man, oh man, you lazy. You don't want to get up early. But anyway, it's 11 o'clock, and that's at Lifeline, Lifehouse Church. It's in Leroy.
Radcliffe Road.
On Radcliffe Road. And they start every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And then also on Wednesday night, they have Bible study there. My name's Dale Diggs. I pastor one church in Kirtland, Ohio. We call it New Promise Church. Been going about 8 years now. Lord's been gracious to us. We're almost across from the Metropolitan Farm Park, right on Route 6 on Euclid Chardon Road. We have two services every Sunday. Our first one is at 9 o'clock. Our second one is 10:45. They both last about an hour and 15 minutes. We have children's ministers going on for all services. We have youth programming, a lot of good singing, and like to think a little bit of good Bible preaching. We invite you to be out for that. Then every Wednesday night, we have services. It starts at 6 o'clock with a meal if you'd like to come in and get some hamburgers and cheeseburgers and pizza and the things that go with that. We have salad. Love to have you. Encourage you to come out and be with us. And then we begin our service at 7 o'clock, and it lasts until 8:15 every Wednesday night. And if you haven't gone to church in a long while, that's because you've yielded to the temptation to stay away from God's people. And I want to encourage you to pass the test today. But there is a purpose in life for tests and for trials. And Evan, the scripture talks in almost incessantly about people being tested, though we don't necessarily call it that. The trials that people face, starting with no one less than what we talked about last week. We talked about how Jesus was tried, tested, tempted as the devil came along his way. But what do you see as being the purpose of trials?
Well, let me ask you a question before I answer that, and that is, everybody's listening to us, you, Pastor Dale, myself, when you observe life and you see somebody who is an adult, somebody that takes responsibility, normally are those people that have been spoiled brats, given everything that they've ever wanted, rich parents just kind of had it all to them, like Paris Hilton or maybe even the Kardashians? Do you find people that are given things all the time without any test or trial or having a maid to go to work or having to get up and having to punch a clock or having to every day put 8, 9, 10 hours in? Most of the time, Pastor Dale, those people who are not tested, who are not tried, do not. I look at them, Pastor, and I think, how could you be so immature? And then I find somebody else whose mom or whose dad, and both of them hopefully said to them, you know what? You're going to learn to work. You're going to be responsible. You're going to get up, going to go to school. If you sign up for that class or if you sign up for football or baseball, whatever it is, you're not going to say, I don't feel like going to practice. You're going to go. They teach them responsibility. They teach them how to have a work ethic. Truth of the matter is kids don't always like that. They'd much rather be raised spoiled brats, and sometimes I'm afraid that's the way it is with Christians. I read to everybody here listening to me today, James 1, 2, 3, and 4, it just talks about the place that we know if we stop and think about it. Tests and trials and hardships in life help us grow up. Tests and trials and hardships in Christianity test our faith. It says, you wonder about this, but it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face tests or trials of many kinds, because you know, which I'm not so sure they know, testing of your faith produces perseverance, that thing that people call patience. And patience, when it's finished its work, it helps me mature and be complete, not lacking anything. That's what the Bible teaches, James 1, verse 2 and verse 4. The main purpose of trials and hardships and testings is to test my faith, is to test to see, is Jesus big enough? Is he strong enough? Am I big? Am I strong? And of course, many times I find when I am not, that he is. So if you're an immature human being, most of the time you don't really know it, unfortunately, unless you really value somebody that can speak into your life. Unfortunately, when you're an immature Christian, sometimes all we ever want is blessing. So I want to ask you a question. I'll turn back over, Pastor Dale. In your life, do you care more? Do you seek more blessings and good things and ease? Do you want to hit the easy button all the time? Or are you prepared to know, if I want to grow up as a Christian, if I want my faith to be proved and be strong and to be mature, do I understand hardships, that God uses them? I'm not saying he causes them, but he can use anything to get me to a place where I am strong in my Christian faith.
Yeah, and I think, Evan, one of the things we'd like to make is a distinction between trials and tests. Because tests, I don't know about you, buddy, but I test easily. I test good. I can cram for a test. I'm pretty good about cramming for tests. I hardly ever fail a test.
That's because you have a good mind. My mind is leaking.
No, really, seriously, it's because I can remember and memorize stuff real well for 10 minutes. And I'm a good tester. And I hear a lot today in American education, like the teaching to the test. Well, unfortunately, though, when you test well and you do well on a test, that doesn't necessarily mean you learned a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But when you trialed, you go to trial, and all the evidence is presented, and you're found guilty, you're found innocent, that's a real learning process. And I think maybe the trial issue is a little bit more pertinent to the Christian experience, because, folks, whatever you're going through or you've been through or you're fearful of going through, it's not going to be like a math test or a history test. Let me use history more. I love history. I read a lot of history. I enjoy history. I am so discouraged by how much I forget. I just can't remember stuff. And I think, man, that didn't do me any good. And I read all the time. I love reading. And I'll read anywhere from 1 to 4 hours a day almost every day. I just like to read. And I'm thinking, man, if all this reading I did me any good, I'd be all right. But I can't remember. But that's not like that with the Christian experience. It's not like you take a test and 2 days later you can't remember. Once you pass the spiritual test, it's like it's strengthened a part of your spiritual being that nothing the devil can do can weaken. You have got that down to it. It's not like an intellectual exercise where you say, "Oh my goodness, I can't remember what the capital of the state of Alabama is anymore. I used to memorize it." No, this is not memorization. This is learning from the spiritual end of, I can now do this, I know, because I can stand up against the wiles of the devil. Once the devil tempted Jesus, by effectively and not effectively only, he just did say, if I recall right, Evan, he said, "Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you everything you came to do on this earth. You won't have to go to the cross. You won't have to suffer any of that humiliation. You won't have to die. You won't have to go. Just bow down and worship me, because that's what you want, isn't it?" And Jesus, fundamentally, right up front, as a human being and as a man, in addition to being God, he said, "Let me get one thing straight. I'm not only going to do the right thing, I'm going to do it the right way." And boy, that's important for a Christian to learn. Folks, it's not only important that you do the right thing, that people think you did the right thing and they think, "I love you." Did you do it for the right reasons? Did you do it for the glory of God, or did you do it so people might laud and praise you and think you're something special? And a test, you might be able to pass a test, but you're not here to pass a test. You and I are on a trial. And I like that old historical question. If you were brought before the court of humanity and mankind today and you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?
Mm-hmm.
And so all these things that we go through today that are sometimes viewed as being catastrophic, and we think, "Oh man, I'm not going to make it through this," and you think that this is going to hurt you. The absolute fact of life is, if you'll come through it victorious, it'll make you stronger than you could have ever been without it.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of a trial.
You know, Pastor Dale, you're exactly correct. And as you were sitting there talking, I thought to myself, the trials, the tests that I went through, as most especially as a new Christian, I can remember reading, you know, to not have any kind of foul language or anything like that come out of your mouth. And I was in a welding shop for 14 years, man. We communicated with using God's name in vain, Jesus' name in vain, the F word. Yeah, we communicated with all of it. And I can remember getting saved, and I can remember being at work. I remember reading that in Scripture, and I remember thinking in my mind, and I can remember still swearing. And every time that I would swear, I would be convicted of it. But eventually, it didn't seem like it took that long to me, it would get to the place where I wanted to think it, but the Holy Spirit, who helps us, the advocate, would say something to my mind beforehand, and eventually I stopped swearing. I passed that test. I can tell you the same thing about anger and rage that I had, that the Lord helped me pass that test. This is absolutely true. The more that you pass these tests or trials or hardships, the stronger you get. You just build on it. You know something about yourself, but more importantly than that, you know something about the power of God and the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. My concern is, you know, are people using it to help them through trials, to help them walk in the presence of the Lord? You know, I want to warn people. Be careful of pastors and teachers that you see or you hear, TV, radio, whatever it might be, who's teaching God's main purpose in your life is to make sure you're happy or blessed or prosperous. From best I know and all I understand, in this world we'll have trouble, Jesus said, but take heart, I've overcome the world. The one place where there's no more pain, no more crying, no more suffering is heaven. It's in eternity, but not here. So when we face trials, you know, if you're kind of believing that, if you're watching somebody on TV, and what happens when a trial or something comes your way? You start to think, well, I must have done something wrong. And maybe you did, and that's one side of it, but maybe you didn't. I just think it leads to tremendous frustration. So, Pastor Dale, we want people to know the truth. We want people to know the Scriptures. That's why we want to invite people, if they're going to a church that they are not in a Bible-believing church, that the Bible is not taught, if people aren't given the freedom to read it and understand themselves, I would love to have them come visit you at New Promise Church, 9 and 1045. You are located on Route 6 in Kirtland Hills, right across from...
Kirtland.
Kirtland, what did I say?
Kirtland Hills. We're not in Kirtland. That's a rich neighborhood.
Kirtland, on Route 6, a little bit catty-corner to the farm park. So easy to find, it's not even funny. You know, I know you teach the Word of God. I know you have Bible studies. I know you do it with teens and kids and adults. We kind of do the same thing. I pastor two churches. One is Lifeline Church, located in Madison. That service is at 9:30, located at the corner of Townline and Middle Ridge. So if you live in Perry, Madison, anywhere close, we got people that come from Ashtabula. We got people from Geneva. We got people from far and close, far and wide alike. But then I head out to Lifehouse Church, located in Leroy on Radcliffe Road. Really only about 7 minutes from Chardon Square. You just take Route 6 to Brakeman and turn left on Brakeman, right on Radcliffe. That service is at 11 o'clock. Once again, we teach the Word of God. We want people to hear the Word of God. We want people to teach the Word of God how to read it themselves. We know, you have the Spirit of God. The way that you get through tests and trials and things is yeah, you have fellowship and you have pastor, you have friends, but you have the Spirit of God. You have the Word of God. Whatever you're going through, the Word of God is enough for you.
You know, folks, let me remind you of something that I think you probably heard. If you haven't, it's a great little saying. God never uses anyone greatly till he allows them to be hurt deeply. And there's something to be said about being exposed to crises and trials and tribulations that prepares you to accomplish great things for the cause of Christ. And as you look at it, and I've looked at a lot of history, almost all of America's great heroes came out of the midst of tragedy. You know, the greatest president we've ever had, most people would say, I think in some way, now, I don't care about your political perspective, but it's probably George Washington. Well, there's nothing special about George Washington, but except he just happened to be the leader of the army that was victorious of the Revolutionary War. He went through the very, very real option of losing everything his family had ever owned, including his own life. And by God's grace and his persistence, he came through and they won the war. And then he was elected president, stayed president of our nation for 2 terms, and effectively could have been elected. He never was opposed, never got an opposing vote, only president in history. Lived in a very... But what made him great? He came through a great trial and passed with flying colors. Look at someone like Abraham Lincoln. Now, what was Abraham? You know, Abraham Lincoln, I don't think, was ever elected to anything until he was elected to be president. And he was probably simultaneous to what many people would say one of America's greatest presidents. You got to remember, half of the country hated his guts. And I lived in the part of the country that hated him. You know, I'm from the South, and I came from Virginia. And I can guarantee you, when I was being raised as a boy, and that was a long time after the Civil War, if you'd asked anybody who was a great president, Lincoln wouldn't have been on the list by a long shot, and neither would Grant or any of the others. But what made him great? He came through a tremendous trial and tribulation. Go down through the list. Roosevelt. Then you have, after Roosevelt, you have... Now, I go through the prayer. Let me take some Christians. Billy Graham. One of the great things about Billy Graham, I've looked a long time. Billy Graham is a wonderful Christian. Did such a marvelous job. But he went through a great trial that many people don't know of. Those of you who read his history will know about this. But and I like talking to people about it. When Billy Graham was in college, Bible college, graduating, he was a Christian, committed Christian. And he had every desire and every intention of going into ministry and was doing some great things. And he believed God was on his side. I think he was too. And the day came that he found the right girl. And you've heard this, I'm so sure, because I may have told you. And he proposed to her. And she accepted his invitation. And they were flying high. They were preparing for their marriage, and everything was going great. And then one day she came and she met with him, and she said to him, Billy, I'm not going to marry you. I can't marry you. I'm not even going to date you anymore. He was devastated. He said, why? She said to him, you're not serious about your Christian walk. Billy Graham is not serious about his Christian walk? Who are you joking? Well, he wasn't. And that tragedy, that trial, whatever you want to call it, so shook Billy Graham down to his roots that he went back to his knees and to God and asked God to re-examine him, to refill him, to sanctify him and do a work in his life. And then Billy Graham found Ruth Graham and became the greatest evangelist the world's ever known. You look at John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. Oh, my goodness. What kind of a... people don't know this stuff. You know, he went through a trial. His father was an Episcopal rector, or really the Church of England rector, and his dad was not very good at what he did, but he happened to be in the establishment. Then one day the house caught on fire, and there's little Johnny upstairs, couldn't get down. The flames were about to burn the second floor up, and by some unusual occurrence, he opened the window and jumped out, and somebody caught him as he jumped to the second floor. He almost burned to death, and the rest of his life particularly his early childhood, his mother always told him that he was a flame plucked from the embers that God was going to use greatly. He came through a trial, and God used him immensely. You know, I could go on and give you historical instances. These people that you look at and you hear about today and you think these are great people, almost all of them went through a tremendous trial in their life, and they came through it victorious. And it's like it made them stronger. I found out one time my son broke his leg when he was young, and we took him as everybody would, and he got it set and everything. And wasn't too long, Evan, you may remember, about a year and a half later, he broke it again. Same knee. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. So I asked the doctor, I said, Doc, what's the chance it broke in the same place? He said, almost non-existent. He said, because once your bone breaks and it heals, it's stronger where it healed than it is anywhere else in your body. Mm-hmm. Boy, I've never forgotten that. Folks, when you get tried and tempted and tested and you come through, you'll never be that weak again. You're stronger than you've ever been before. There's a purpose for your trials.
And so you have to ask yourself the question, Dale, what happens to the Christian who, A, doesn't go through any tests or trials, or B, refuses to recognize what it is that they can do for them? You know, lots of times, if you go any length of time, I always tell our congregation, the sooner your child has a train wreck, the better. And I do that just to get their attention. Because if you protect your child every time somebody picks on them, every time somebody says something wrong to them, every time the teacher, I'm not talking about bullying, Pastor Dale, I'm talking about, you know, if you protect them from everything in life, then what's going to happen when they grow up and you're not around? The best thing that can happen is that when your child goes through some type of a train wreck, some type of hurt or whatever, you don't rescue them, but you're there to support them. I understand it has to do a lot with where age they're at, but be there, be with them, because that's what Jesus said. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't fear no evil, because I am going to rescue you. I'm going to pull. No, that's not what he said. He said, I am with you. And Emmanuel, we just went through the Christmas season. Emmanuel, God with us. It is that God is there with us. He is there with us most especially by the presence of the Holy Spirit and as we read the Word of God. I know lots of guys, and I know some ladies too, a couple of my daughters, you know, they don't want to have flabby bodies. So they put themselves through trials, through tests. They lift weights. My one daughter, my shortest daughter, she's now taking some kind of kung fu, boxing, kicking, whatever. And that's a scary thing because she's got a temper on top of it too, you know. She's just learning how as a little person to try to hit somebody and punch somebody. She always thought she was strong, but she's putting herself, you know how many times she's got hit? You know, she came home with a black eye through a test to try to get to the place where she could be able to, she wants to stay in shape. She likes that, but she likes to be able to defend herself without having to shoot somebody. You know, somebody lifts weights, somebody practices boxing, somebody does that, puts themselves through tests and trials. Why? So they ain't flabby. Unfortunately, I'm sure that if you don't recognize as a Christian that there are tests and trials, you're probably a flabby Christian. And maybe you want to be, and that's fine. But the cool thing about a Christian is you could look flabby on the outside, but be really strong on the inside. It's about building an emotional strength, a spiritual strength, a trust. Just as that scripture says, look at verse 4. Let perseverance finish its work. It says, let it finish its work so you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Those that have allowed the tests and trials to come their way, like Jesus, like Romans 8:28 says, God uses all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his will.
King David. He surely went through it, did he not?
Yeah.
Trial and tested. How about Saul? He sure did go through it. He almost failed. Peter, when he was not the apostle, he went through it and he did fail. And yet he learned through it. And Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me?
Yeah.
And he made a profession, and he followed up on it. Man, don't ever quit. The trials can be the greatest thing in your life. As you know, I like to read history. And folks, one of the great people in the history of our early nation, person that is really, in many ways, founder of our nation. He founded the first bank. He was in favor of federalism. He opposed Jefferson. Is a gentleman by the name of Alexander Hamilton. Most people don't know Alexander Hamilton was not an American. He was a West Indian, foreigner, born to a prostitute without a father, no formal education, decided as a young boy he wasn't going to be like everybody told him he was. He was going to make something of his life. So he read on his own, tried to learn to read on his own, learned to read, went and worked for a man who was a shipping handler, handled all kinds of shipping from all over the world that came into the West Indies. Made his mind up he was going to go to America and he was going to make a difference. Did he? He was the assistant for 4 years to George Washington in the Continental Army. He became the one who established the first Royal Bank in America. He married into one of the richest families in New York, which was by plan. And he became the father of America. But his temper got a hold of him and he died of a gunshot wound from a gentleman by the name of Aaron Burr, who he challenged to a duel. He failed the ultimate trial. He rose from the place of the greatest insignificance to become one of the fathers of our nation and then failed trial because he let his temper get the best of him. How many of us Christians go through all kinds of trials and temptations and then we come to one final thing and our carnal nature gets a hold of us and we fail the final trial, having made it so far, and the final trial does us in? Please don't let that happen in your life. Keep in mind that there is a purpose for all your trials to make you stronger. Don't give up at the end. Don't quit. The Bible says there's a crown of righteousness for those who finish the race. Not for those who start, not for those who participate, but for those who finish, overcomers.
Yep, overcomers.
And we are to be victorious through Jesus Christ. The purpose of what you're going through today is not because God does not love you. To the contrary, it's because God does love you, and he wants you to be his example. But he's got to know he can trust you. That could be said of so many other people that failed the test. Please don't be among them. Stand up and be counted and simply say, I am going to do all that I can do for the cause of Christ. And if I have to pass a test, so be it. You can't become anything in America today hardly without having to take a test and examination. I can remember when I first received my first ordaining and going and sitting in front of five preachers, and they asked me questions for a half hour, 45 minutes to ascertain did I have any clue what I was talking about. I took an insurance test. I had to go through a test. It took about 2 hours, I think, answering questions. I studied for it for months to be able to get ready for it. Everything you've ever done requires a test. Mm-hmm. But I also remember a test when I was like 7 years old. My brother was playing baseball, and I talked to him and letting me play. And they called upside. You remember when they throw you the bat, and the last man got the top of the bat, got to choose first. And when everything was said and done, I was left, and the fellow looked at me and says, I don't want him. And they wouldn't let me play. And that was my trial, and I failed it. I made up my mind I was going to be better than they were. And eventually I did become better than they were.
I know, you are a good baseball player.
So therefore, so folks, I failed the first trial, but I learned from it.
Yeah.
Learn, be victorious. Greater is he that's in you that's in the world. Have a great day.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty close to the time we got to close up, Evan, but I'll leave it to you.
Today, as we've been talking about the purpose of trials, Pastor, it just crossed my mind as we were getting ready to wrap up that somebody's listening to us today. And they are going through a test or a trial. Maybe they're just bowing their head right now. Maybe they almost want to turn us off. Maybe a tear is trickling down their cheek. Pastor Dale, I'm just going to close in prayer for those people out there today. Jesus, do we have to look any further than you to see that the trials and the testings that you went through, and yet everything you went through for our benefit, not yours. You did it for the joy set before you, which was salvation for those who would come to you and believe you. Now today, Lord, is there some people that they're listening to us today? They are struggling with some test or a trial or a hardship. Like it says in the scriptures, be close to them. Open the scriptures up to their hearts and their minds. Give them a word and a promise from the scripture that will give them strength. Be their strength. Be their joy. Help them stay close to you as they read the word. May your Holy Spirit bring about a teaching and a trial that they will know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that they will know this has grown them up and that has matured them. They're not a flabby Christian. May you give them strength, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Life goes faster than you think, so don't blink. Life goes faster than you think, don't blink. Don't blink. Life goes faster than you think.